Men are men, and the women like it that way. And more importantly than anything, God is pleased. Now, you might say, is he kidding me by saying that? No, I'm not. That's just one thing that we are. But I'm really just so stoked to be with our family here in the Orchard. And if you're visiting today, hey, you guys, hi. We're not supposed to, I learned in seminary, we're not supposed to embarrass you by saying hi, but let's be honest, there's not that many people here, so we know you're here. So welcome. We'll get to see you later. Don't get out of here before you get your free car. It's a Hot Wheel. It's left over from some kid, but you like it anyway, and it gets really great gas mileage. So thank you guys for being here, and if I miss any, hey, CJ, what up? All right. Hey, you know what is great about being in church? The people. You know what's bad about being in church? The people, right? You know what the difference in church is? God working through people beyond, well, us just being us. Isn't that cool? And you know what's even better than that? He's got a mission so big, it says, leave everything at the cross, pick it up and follow me. That's the cool part. How can we get along? It's not because all of a sudden we're transformed into not being jerks. That's working out. But we love Christ so much. All the other stuff means so little when you get down to it. We're looking at Revelation and we're talking about Revelation. I got to tell you, I'm being impacted by reading this with you guys. It's one thing to hold a doctrine or hold a belief by yourself. It's another to hold it with people. So as you turn to Revelation, it's the last book in the Bible. As you turn there, realize this. As we are learning this together, at some point we got to look each other in the eye and say, so what? Is this going to transform my life? And then you have to say, is it really about me being transformed? Yeah, that's important. I mean, if it was all about getting saved, then when we were saved, why didn't we just get raptured right then, boom, to heaven? Or is there something more at work here? Is there a bigger plan? Does he have something in it for us on his behalf to do? And is this clock ever going to stop? Is there going to be that bong at the end of time? And we've been reading, and I'll tell you, if you really believe that God is coming back, and the things described in Revelation, the whole earth destruction, all that, if that's to come, yet we're here now and we have the good news. What does that mean? It means we need to be about the Lord's business sharing the gospel. So I think Dave over there, good job this morning with the scripture reading, Romans. How are they going to hear unless somebody sends them? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, some of you, your feet are ugly. We know that's a metaphor, right? We know that means the body of Christ moving out together. How beautiful that is when we move out. Feet readied for the gospel, as Ephesians teaches. The idea of the armor, that we have suited up our feet. We've got them ready to go. And the job we're going to do is kick in the gates of hell. Man, that's exciting. It's exciting to be called to be winners. That God would do whatever it takes to nurture and train you to be children of the Most High, to be Christians, Christ-like ones. The one who died for us, we get to be like him, Jesus. So as we turn to Revelation, if it's not all about applying God's truth, then I don't know why in the world he even gave us this book. Because it's not about how weird and scary it gets. That's to move our hearts to get busy now. Knowing this is coming, let's work back from there and say, who is Jesus to you, man? Well, he's my Lord. Really? Have you ever shared the gospel with anybody? Nope. Interesting. So the one who died for you, The one who's called you, the one who's gifted you, the one who gives you the ability to praise his name, that selfsame one, we have a choice. To take our talent, knowing what we know that God has given us to give to somebody else, we take it and put it in the ground because, well, I don't want to screw it up. I don't want to misshare the gospel and then, you know, they're going to go to hell. You know, are you afraid that if I don't share the gospel exactly right, they could end up in Wasco for an eternity? Or Taft? Or Oakland? What are you afraid of? Maybe you're afraid that you're going to like it. Maybe you're going to enjoy telling people about Jesus. And that'll just change everything. Well, I thought that's why he saved us, to transform our lives, right? We do know that Romans teaches that we are to be not just trying to be like Jesus, but we're going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, which says on an ongoing basis, we need to keep refreshing our minds in Christ. Need to keep doing that. That's why when Pastor Dave has an evangelism class, it really comes down to this. Are you okay with people going to hell? Well, somebody else will share it with them. Really? Because maybe he's pointing at God's calling you to do it. Well, I can't hardly teach. I have a speech impediment. Moses tried that one on God. And he said, well, yeah, you can hardly talk. Would you like to be deaf too? No, you know, I like that. That's the one that, you know, like kind of like a dad would say, oh, really? You can't use your hands? Well, why don't you use your feet? And pull those weeds out with your feet if I want you to. You know, the idea of you telling God what you don't want him to do in your life, at that point, elevating yourself up to his position to look him in the eye and say, you know, I'm not quite sure about your plan. Why don't you hang in there with me and let me work this out? Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Can we just be honest a little bit, though? We tend to elevate ourselves to try to look God in the eye and let him know, no thanks, I got this. I love to share the gospel with people. I'm going to that class. Why? Because I want to do it with you guys. I want to learn with you. I want to be on your team. I want to win. Well, I've been to evangelism classes. Go to another one, because apparently we're not done yet. We haven't ran out of people who are sinners in the hands of, as Jonathan Edwards would say, in the hands of an angry God. We're not done with that job yet, pronouncing the same one who is righteous in his wrath is righteous in his forgiveness. Now, if I'm guilting you to go and you go out of guilt, you're an easy person to guilt. I would rather you say, I would like to learn to give people an option, and that option is Christ. And introduce them to the gospel. If you're really good at it, then come see me because we're going to get busy. So you're like, I don't need the class. I'm ready to evangelize right now. Come see me and let's get her done. Or you can be like me and say, I always could use more training. Teach the fundamentals. Coach the fundamentals. Do it. And if you're like most of us, you're worried about what if you did it wrong. Can I introduce you a different thought? What if you get it right? What about the what if somebody goes to heaven? What if God said, I'm going to give you this guy to share the gospel with, and then I'm going to give you all the rewards for this? What if? Well, what if they tell me to get lost, loser? Well, that's just another person who says that to you. But what if they said, tell me more? And what if they just said, thank you? See, your priority has to be on the winning side of the ledger, not the losing side of the ledger. That's the priority. So as we are in Revelation, the idea is at this point in the chapter 5, 4 and 5, we have the church no longer being talked about, because now John is in heaven looking down from the heavenly, seeing the world from the perspective of God, because the church has been raptured out, taken up. Now, some might say, well, the word rapturo doesn't exist in the Bible. It's Latin for rapture. The word in Greek, the translation for it is taken up, and that's in Thessalonians, and it says you will be taken up. And we're going to go visit that. The desire is this. If God is indeed going to rapture us up and take us up so that we do not experience tribulation, if that is what's going on here, then how does that change your life today, looking at the end? Does it change your heart? Does it change the way you look at your marriage, your children, your parents, your friends, your work? See, the way this is going to roll out here is that God's working an agenda. And we're going to see that he's going to have a scroll with seven seals. And remember last week, what kind of angel is holding this scroll? A strong angel. Now, is that saying there's weak angels? No, it's just saying of all the angels, this one, strong. And in that view, you have John just going, well, who's going to open it? Who's got the gravitas, remember that word? The weight, the mass. Who's big enough to go to a strong angel and take that scroll and open the first seal? Who's got the guts? And then it changes our view of who Jesus is. He's not this weak, anemic, metrosexual, hanging on the cross, because got news for you, he's not on the cross anymore. Our God lives. He has overcome the stain of the cross. And he's victorious. And that's what's introduced to us here. So we're going to be working between here and 2 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians. We're going to be back in there. How many of you did your homework? And I mean, raise your hand if you did your homework last week. All right, you come see me later, I'll give you a fictitious gold star. Go put it on your fridge, you know. 5:1. Then I saw on the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. So when you look at it, you're seeing this. It's kind of like rolling up a newspaper. You know, you can roll it up. You have different sections. You can find them. And he's looking at this thing, it's just filled with revelation. On the outside and on the inside. There's words written all over this thing, and it's rolled up. And there it is, sitting in his hands. And revelation, knowing from God, is just right there. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it except for Muhammad. Or the Pope. Or some knucklehead pastor in Kingsburg. There is no one worthy to pronounce God's revelation except one, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the victorious Lamb who was slain. And our God does not sit behind Muhammad or Buddha or the Supreme Court or the Congress or the president. There is none worthy except for Jesus Christ to be the pronouncement of God's revelation. None. There's only one with that authority. We see Christians giving away ground all the time because we don't want to fight about who Jesus is. We don't have to fight about Jesus. He is, because he's the great I am. And no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth, so throughout all the ages, there's nobody ever able to open this. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Quit your whining, you baby." I'm sorry. He says, "Weep no more. Check it out. The lion," look at this, "the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals." Our God reigns. Amen? Amen? And revelation comes only through Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God living, the perfect will of God. And this guy is a roaring lion, and he ain't tame, and he's not your pet. And he doesn't serve you. He's king. Who's the king of the jungle? Hoo-hoo. Love that song. You know, now it's in your brain, isn't it? You want me to sing that song? All right. I just went to a worship conference this weekend, so please stand with me as we sing "Who's the King of the Jungle." Stand up. You guys, stand up. This is worship. Stand up. Stand up. We are going to worship the King of the Jungle. And I learned this from a teacher of mine who says, if you can teach a fourth grader something, maybe an adult will learn. Because the idea is, the older we get, the more we think God doesn't know what he's talking about. Or we become so proud we forget the joys of being in children's church. You remember? You guys ready? Who's the king of the jungle? Who's the king of the sea? Wada, wada, wada. Who's the king of the universe? And who's the king of me? I'll tell you, J-E-S-U-S. Yes, he is the king of me. He is the king of the universe. The jungle and of sea. Bubble, bubble. Hoo, hoo. All right, sit down. But is he your king? How do you know? Jesus said that if you wanted to follow him as a disciple, you're going to have to follow him like a soldier taking orders from the commander, whose only desire is to please the one who called him. Only desire. How many other desires he needs to burn out of your heart that only one is left? And he's about to unleash in the world judgment. Have you met my Jesus? Some of you, you can embrace him as Lord. The rest of you, you're going to meet him as judge. Oh, you're making that up. I'm not. It's in his word. So it goes on to say this. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb. Now we go to a different vision, a lamb standing as though it had been slain. There's a very important word there, as though it had been slain. So here's this big time Jesus. The Lion of Judah is now being described as a lamb. That he carries both of those titles equally well. And look at this. This is where it gets fun. With seven horns. Now you deer hunters are getting excited, aren't you? We have an irregular pattern going on here. We'd like to mount that on the wall. Remember, we're talking about Jesus. Reorient your Cabela brain. And when he took, in verse 7, when he took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne, and when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and your blood, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and nation and people. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on earth." That is a future that we have not experienced yet. It describes this basket of the prayers of the saints. He doesn't call them the church. He calls them saints, holy ones, hagions, holy ones, saints in this age before him. And there's going to be, from all the nations of the earth, he will be gathering these saints up through this time. And he's not ignorant. If he's going to do that in the tribulation period, do you think he hears your prayers now? And he cares? Yeah. See, that little glimpse there shows you what he's thinking about. Those who are going through the tribulation, he has them there. Those prayers are before him. He knows about them. But what about us? Praying for our children or our parents to come to know Christ, our neighbors. Praying for us that as a husband, I might actually really live the faith I say. And the humility to confess when I sin. He holds those prayers precious. He keeps them right in front of him. And in the future, he's going to hear the prayers of those going through the tribulation period. He's going to have those prayers there. And they're going to be mounting, and they're going to be mounting. And it is good to know that when the people of God are sinned against, God is not apathetic. Isn't that neat? He cares. He really does. And he hears your prayers. And in the age to come, in that tribulation time, he doesn't just merely stand by. Verse 11, "Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads and myriads and thousands." How many are myriads? I don't know. But how many are thousands? Thousand. That's going to be important because in Revelation, people like to play number games. Some numbers have super meanings. Other numbers have absolutely no meaning. Like thousand has no meaning. Thousand is just a mark of time. Really, why does he say myriads upon myriads and then he gets more particular, thousands on thousands? Why didn't he just say myriads? I think God knows a thousand. Do we want to be cavalier about it? I mean, look how important time is for us. You've got these little black things in your pocket that now you don't need day timers. They're all there. They will remind you of everything. In fact, you just call them your wife's best nagger. You know, your wife should be programming your iPhone for you. Mike! Well, she doesn't sound that way. Mike! With the eyes up. Mike! 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 Oh, Mike. Can you see it at the phone? Oh, Mike. Timing, importance of the call. It's all there. And in verse 12, they sang out, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing, honor, glory, might, forever and ever. God reigns." Are you done being a bored church? Are you going to be apathetic as Christians anymore in light of this? God reigns. And if you have a small Christianity, it ain't Jesus you have a problem with. He has a problem with you. Do you love me, Peter? Feed my sheep. Peter. Yeah, Lord. Peter, look at me. Yeah, Lord. Do you love me? Like a brother. Peter. Do you love me? Family to me, Jesus. Peter, do you love me? I ain't got nothing left but love. Peter, yeah, Lord, feed my sheep. All right, okay. Peter, come on, follow me. Do you love Jesus? Is he big enough for you? Is he great enough for you? Does he have all the authority? Can we see the end where he shows us that in the end, everything that retains a voice is going to worship him? Death is not an issue. All those will be raised up who have faith in him. The righteous shall live by faith. All the creatures of the earth will give glory. Have you created an image of God that is so small that you feel like he has to answer to you? Are you starting to realize that Jesus Christ has a plan so big, so awesome, that you're just frankly humbled he lets you in the door? And then when he looks at you and says, "I love you," what are you going to say? Yes, Lord. So if you think Traver's good enough, it's not. That's one step. Remember, there are people right in Kingsburg going to hell. Remember what you were saved for. Remember who Jesus is. And then we're going to look at who we are as the church in light of this revelation. Because we are responsible, now that we have this knowledge, to respond. Next week, we're going to look back into Thessalonians. You can read 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Shoot, you can read the whole New Testament. Read the whole Bible next week if you get the time. Just don't stop. And you're going to see the point with the guys. I meet with a group of guys down by the river. Because I really never came back from Man Up this year. I didn't. I'm like, man, I'm not leaving that fire behind. So we got a joint down by the river that we study at. And if you're a guy you have the ability to take an hour from 7 to 8 o'clock on Thursday night and you want to come down and study the Word of God and just be real honest about who you are in the face of our Savior? Well, come talk to me. If you want directions, where's Mr. Workman there? Lance, raise your hands. Lance will give you better detailed directions. Mine is, you go out of town over the bridge, you go to the end of the road, you turn left. After the really freaky weird house with the multicolored poles, turn right. And you're thinking, that's really strange. When you see it, you'll know. Turn right. When you go up a little hill and you go through the Redneck Riviera, you're there. And you're like, Redneck Riviera, what does that mean? You'll know. And then we'll have markers to go down the back end of this orchard. And you go around this orchard on this dirt road, which is really good for drifting in the corners. And then you're going to come. And if you do not have the appropriate vehicle, do not go down the hill to the beach. Because I will charge you $15 to pull you out. It's not my fault you're not man enough to have a four-wheel drive vehicle. Right? Maybe your wife is rolling in the tank. Borrow her car and you can go down there. But if get a ride. I don't care. Park, walk down there. If you have the opportunity, come down there. Now, you might be a woman going, well, that's not fair that the guys are me. Listen, I don't go to your knitting things. All right? I don't make cake pops. I eat them. I don't make them. You ladies have your Thursday night gig and your Friday morning gig and you're studying all over. If you want to meet with some ladies and really study the Word, go talk to Pam Workman. Pam, raise your hand. You can even use our fire down by the river. I don't care. Just don't leave perfume all over the place. It smells like wood on purpose, burning wood. There's incense that go up to God that way. In light of who God is, have you settled for something less than God's will in your life? And you know, some of you, you've tasted it, haven't you? Oh, but when I was a kid, I went on that missions trip. And since then, frankly, my faith has been pretty boring. Oh, when I was at Hume Lake, that's when I was on fire for the Lord. Oh, name whatever it is. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that He calls us to. Today we have the opportunity to share the gospel. We don't live in the past. We live for the future. In God's hands, the best is yet to come. We have a group that meets on Sunday morning. They're the adult Bible study, and we call them adult Bible study because we don't have child care. And so it's empty nest. Anybody who doesn't have kids, go to that. Well, there's a bunch of old people there. On behalf of old people, or getting older people, if you go there, then it's not just old people. It's old people and dumb young people. All right? The Bible says for the elders in the church, the older men and women, to disciple the younger people. So if you have the ability to go, and the only reason you're not going there is because, well, it's at 9 o'clock in the morning, I want to challenge you to suck it up in light of that powerful God, our Savior, and get to know the best saints we have and be trained with them. And in turn, you will light them on fire. Our job for our encore group and our seniors is that when they go home, they ain't got nothing left. They left it all on the field for Christ. That's a death worth dying. Of course, we know the rest of the story. We don't stay dead. Death, where's your sting? In Christ, we have life. Let me pray for you guys. Heavenly Father, as we face this week, we know that it is your will that we live our faith out towards everyone. And then in so doing, you sanctify us. In Philippians, you said that you will complete that good work in us. That it's a process. And as we face that this week, Lord, with all the flaming arrows from the enemy, remind us that our battle is against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities, the demons, those rulers over those areas of spiritual forces. But you, Jesus, said that you will build your church and the gates of hell will not stand against it. And so I pray for the people of the Orchard. And Lord, for those folks who come from other churches and they're visiting today, that I pray as they go back to their church, they will ignite their church with a view of you, Jesus, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb that was slain, who is worthy of all our glory. May your Spirit convict us, strengthen us, and give us the opportunity to give an answer to the hope that lies within us. Lord, as we pray, if you want to take a moment and just ask that you would lay on the hearts and minds of these people somebody they need to talk to this week about you, Jesus. That maybe they just start sketching it out in their brain and you start filling in the colors and filling in the features. But this week they will know that you have called them to share the gospel. And Lord, in their fear, may you overcome it with your love and drive out all those things that would stop them from being pronouncers of your good news to others. We thank you that we not only do that individually, but as a church body. And Lord, even though this is a dark time, you have made us to shine bright. And we thank you, Jesus, for that call. And all God's people said together, amen. Please stand. Man, we have a camp coming up in Heartland, 9th, 10th, and 11th of March. We have a place for 32 guys. We need to fill those places. We need you to tell us whether you're going, and we need to know now because it's growing huge. And if we can't fill both cabins, they need those cabins for somebody else. So guys, by tomorrow, Monday, I'm making a phone call up to Heartland, and I'm telling them, this is what we're bringing up. So I'm asking you to search your hearts. If you don't have the money to get up there, you're tight, don't let that stop you. We'll get you there. We will get you there. You might have to do some dishes, help set up a gun range with me, help me mark some 4x4 territories, you know, tough stuff. Really, you don't have to do dishes. They don't want you doing dishes. They actually want them clean. So let the professionals do it. But I want to double dog dare you to take a weekend and get to know us as we get to know you. And for the men of the Orchard who have been there a lot of years, you know what our role is there. We're encouraging other churches to kick in the gates of hell too. Those guys are looking forward to seeing us up there too. And let's get up there and fellowship together. Take some time, invest, and it'll pay off. Wives, you'll get a better husband back. Maybe not that week. Takes a while. They're slow. But it'll happen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, may you go out, disciples of the Lion of Judah, the Lamb that is slain, the one who has the ability to speak revelation and the authority to carry it out, knowing that he has, by the same mouth, called you to follow him with all authority in the Spirit, according to the will of the Father, in the name of the Son. Amen. Let's go out into our orchards.